I wanted to finish this piece of Ramana Maharshi. We were reading this young man who, well, old man, he's dead now, but he went at 12 and lived on this mountaintop, on this mountain by himself. And he didn't have any food, anything. Eventually, after a while, some old lady would come and bring up some food, and he started having food. And people would start taking care of him, and he became the holy man at the mountain. This is a mountain, a holy mountain in South India, Mount Arunachala. And there's probably 1,000 saints just living on it without working and just being. And people take a pilgrimage and they walk, it takes about 8 hours to walk around it. And it's considered one of the holiest things one can do. Now, once a year, they take the top of the mountain for about 10 days and they light it up, and it's lit up for everywhere around. And everyone around there on light lights candles. So for like 50 miles, there's just nothing but light. It's one of the rituals in this part of South India. I wasn't there at the time when the lights were on, but he's talking about this, it's like the state of being, but when someone says the self, or the oneness, or the being, it's talking about the state of being. But the state of being is a beautiful way of talking about it, because you start, it makes sense without being sensible. You know, okay, so I may be overlapping one or two of these from the last time, but I'm just going to go ahead. If the ego is, everything else is too. If the ego is not, nothing else is. I'm the ego. I'm doing this. I'm thinking this is what's going on. This is what's going on. I know all these things. If there's no I, are there any of those things? The thought's gone. What is it? So therefore, the inquiry, what it is really, so to inquire who am I or what it is really, means giving up everything. It's not. If you're going to really inquire what's real, you're giving up everything. You're letting go of your attachments, even to the thoughts. So, you could be letting go of your child even while you're having it, and yet this being's coming through. That's a tall order. Like it pulls everything, life pulls everything out. But in the end, we can't hold it anyways. You can't die for someone. Can't, like, it's a process, and getting that transcendence to it is the. So this is, he has like, this was 40 reality in 40 verses. You know, so he just wrote 40 little sentences like this. That's just one. You can. I've spent like days on each one of these. Just it kept going in. It kept undoing my thoughts about it. So the state in which the I does not arise is the state of being that. Just that. No I. You're that. Without seeking the place from which the I arises, how is one to bring about the extinction of oneself characterized by the non-arising of the I? How can you bring about, without seeking that place from which the I arises? Not the I, from where it comes. Where does the thought come from? Where do I come from? You ever ask someone, where on earth are you coming from?
Right now I'm thinking that about you. No, I'm kidding.
Me too.
I'm trying to grasp it all.
Yeah,
can I just say, when Robin, sometimes you'll say something and you, like, every sentence you say is just riddled with a conversation, and there's paragraphs and books to write on it, and then you keep going. And I'm like 10 sentences behind you saying, what was that other thing he said? Yeah, yeah. I'm still working on that one.
It's done this to me. It's done this to me continuously for years. I keep getting undone. As soon as you think, to think that you know is sickness. Only when you become sick of the sickness can you become free of it.
Can I ask you, can I ask you a question about I? So here's the thing. Can you live, because we have to live in a world, what do? I am an astrologer. We live in a world of I.
Well, that's choice.
Well, if I decide, you see?
If you decide.
The decision word I.
If the I goes, you know, the amazing thing is life still may happen. without you doing it?
I don't have a problem with the I, but look how many times we say I.
And look how many people, how many other eyes would be let down if you let your eye down.
Well, I don't want my eye. Everybody else wants my eye because they're asking. Think about it. Do you want your eye?
But
we don't want it.
Everybody else, the concept everybody else is just the extension of your eye anyways, because I can't see you. Everything I see is what you're not. Everything I hear is what you're not. Everything I think is what you're not. So what I'm relating to is everything that's not you. We're relating to the insults to each other. Rather than just letting it be. It's the process of undoing. It's like you hit the puzzle. Mm-hmm. It's not a knowing. It's just like, I don't know.
Well, 30 years ago, I had a conversation with a friend about that, and we decided to not use I for a week.
Mm.
Wow. 30 years ago, we were 18, mm-hmm. 17, 18 years old.
So then it goes on, after saying, where, if you don't look at where it comes from, it says... Yeah, no, but it's like we run into all these things.
30 years later, I'm no further ahead.
Yes, because we haven't held on to it. We run into it and we don't let go. We don't surrender our life.
But Robin, back to the ego thing that you just mentioned, that sentence. What was that thing about the ego? Can you just recap?
Okay, we're still just trying to get through the second little stanza, but I'll read the whole thing again. If the ego is, everything else is too.
Right there. I was just going to say that the sense of I... And the ego, sorry to help you off, isn't that spurring progress and growth? And I'm here because of the internet.
The concept of that I am growth and I'm building and every experience that happens to me is making me more and I'm accumulating. It's like a hermit crab accumulating garbage. It's not your silence of who you are.
But doesn't it spread out? Isn't it for the good of the many that the I exists?
That I is the same thing that causes every war. Every deception, everything that causes separation.
But every good thing, too.
Sure, separation can be a good thing.
And dark and light and...
Yeah, yeah.
Who invented I, anyway?
It's just, where does it come from? That's the like, it's just once you hear the puzzle, you're opening, you're at the gate of the temple. Not like, and it has to work through, it works through by surrender. But that's why it says, when it says things about nature, you know, like having to overcome nature. Like, what a concept. It happened for me. Like, before I went to India last time, I was going down for 2 years to High Park, or not High Park, Ashbridges Bay Park, and doing my Tai Chi in the morning by the lake. I'd be there 2 or 3 hours. Just, it'd be 20 below. In 5 minutes, I'm just too high. I got my shirt off. I'm just doing my Tai Chi there. But the whole lake, it's just nature. It was so beautiful. I never had so beautiful relationship to nature. And I was in love with it. Then one day, I start going in there. I just walk in there and burst into tears. I don't know why. That happened for 3 or 4 days. I burst into tears, and I began to realize that where my struggle was no longer in nature. That I'd already spent time in the black room, and I was out further than where my consciousness, than what I was inwardly aware of, and that my angst or my problems was on a deeper level, and I had to let go of nature. That was the beginning of my celibacy. I went back to India, went back in the black room again, and I mean, we still have our attachments and things going, but that was the beginning of realizing it's something more than I thought it was. Love isn't what we think it is. Always. It keeps growing. And even when someone's enlightened, they're still always undoing veils. It's eternal. But in that process, when you get your faith or your heart or your feelings in that process, you're in sacred centering. And then you're not, because the sacred centering is. It's what they often say, it's a higher state. It's not higher, it's just everything. It's clearer. So it's higher, but not in position. You know, like, I'm higher than you. It's not that, it's more inclusive. But, so okay, it just, if the ego is not, then nothing else is. But there's no ego. What is there? So I'm dead if there's no me. That's what the mind thinks. And you just chant and laugh right past that.
You're actually free.
Yeah. And if you're chanting and you're holding on to it, you're just laughing at that mind saying that. You're realizing how negative and dark and isolated it is.
I think in our culture it's a difficult practice.
In any culture, at any time.
Especially on the planet today.
India, China, doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Anywhere. It's the same stars are overhead. Everybody, it's the same texture we're running through. We see little different... Look, we come out of our mothers, we come out of our backyards, we run into the world. Almost everybody on the planet every day has to get up, they eat something, get up, they do something, they get a bit more food, they eat something else, they try and get some happy hours in between it, they eat something else, they gotta...
They go chant and they go home.
If they chant. But the chanting, it's there, but we're thinking, oh, that's just stupid chanting, that's just Hare Krishna, that's just this and that. We get all these concepts around it without listening to what's happening. And we have those concepts are there. But you don't have to say anything. It just becomes apparent. It just becomes clear. So the statement of if the ego is not, nothing else is, it's just the statement, well, so what's there to worry about? Indeed, the ego is everything. Therefore, the inquiry what it is really means giving up everything. Know this. If you're going to inquire where you're coming from, you're giving up everything. So what's there to hold on to if someone's making demands of you? Who's making demands of you? For me, it's who's driving that car slow in front of me that I want to get past faster. Uh-oh. That idiot's God. I better be quiet. It's me that attracted the idiot, not... So... the state in which the I does not arise is the state of being that. Without seeking the place from which the I arises, how is one to bring about the extinction of oneself characterized by the non-arising of the I? And without effecting that extinction, how is one able to abide in one's true state in which one is that? So... Like, when you're thinking, you work these ones, you're thinking it over and over and you work it through. It's hard to just talk it and think it through. Just as one would dive into water to recover an article which had fallen in, one should dive deep into oneself with speech and breath restrained and find out the place from which the eye arises. Know this. It's like where the speech and breath restrained. Speech and breath are both the place. Where does your breath come from? Sometimes when I'm chanting or I'm meditating or hearing someone else's voice, I'm feeling that voice is coming from me, not from someone else. Mm-hmm. And everybody's voice is coming from me. Mm-hmm. It's kind of an undoing of thinking I'm listening to somebody.
Vibrations are matching up too.
Yeah, but it's not the vibrations, but the silence behind the vibrations that is the puzzle. The music's the mechanic. The vibration's the mechanic. The vibration is the disturbance to the silence. Okay, so the source of the I, seeking the source of the I inwardly, with the interned mind, without uttering the word I. So seeking the source of the I inwardly, with the interned mind, without uttering the word I, is the true path of knowledge. Meditate, I am not this. Meditation, I am not this, I am that, may be auxiliary, but cannot be the inquiry, because you're using the I. And like this is written by someone with grade 8, with grade 7 education. Right? Never went to school past that. So you think you won't find that kind of literacy. No. Hardly
anything.
Everything
anywhere. In our world is about I. I just realized, I love you. What does that have to do with me?
What's love?
Exactly. Like, think about it.
What's
it's
love to me?
Like a
what's love to I?
Pretty egotistical thing to say.
The I is the opposite of the love. So to say I love you is really I want you. This would be nice. This would be, like, I can't do it. But it's that we're connected.
More in the context of a different type of love, like love for
yeah,
your child.
But, yeah, yeah, but that too. Like, it's not, it's because... There's a oneness where everyone's our child. Mm-hmm. How can I treat you less than I treat my son? Or how can I treat my... As soon as we prioritize, this is better than this, or I got to do this more than that, then we're already establishing the I as separate.
But if someone says, what do you do? What's your response?
Who are you talking to? You talking to me?
What do you do?
First
thing comes out of your mouth.
There's four things you ask about someone when you first meet them. They're the four angles in your horoscope. Who are you? What's your name? Where do you live? Mm-hmm. Are you married? What do you do for a living?
Married? Who else are you married?
Are you single or not single? You observe it.
I guess.
You know, it's just...
What's that all about?
That's how we're extending ourselves out into sensation and out into the textures of consciousness. As our life karma, and we're playing it out. We're working through these textures. But
it's not... your own skin?
Yeah. Skin. But you have skin is only one sensation. Thought is a sixth sensation. But to think of thought and I just as a as a passing sensation of what? Who's sensing the I?
You're just navigating. That's all you've got is your navigational, is the I.
Well, who's navigating the I? Where's the I? Where's it coming from?
You're trying not to die.
Who's the I?
Ultimately, it's you. It's what's in your heart.
It's the thought. So if you let go of your thoughts, you die.
Yeah.
Yep. And that's the death that takes you to your spiritual truth.
I was going to Shoppers today, and there's an old lady. And I usually do give, you know, to people who need. And she was standing there in the cold, and her hands were all gnarled up, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, she's living the life I'm horrified of living. She's having to stand in the cold and beg, and she's old and feeble. And isn't that why I get up every day and why I come here?
But you know, if you talk to her, you might find those are not serious things to her. She may be on another level of faith. Many people get to the edge of death before they see angels, have a prayer and say, okay, God, I'll live this way, and they get their life back. Because they align it.
I think in that case, like how I might look at what that fear is founded on.
Like you can see an old guy.
Right? Like, no, of ending up like that.
Let's take another example. You see someone walking down the street, there's this old person, and they're all gnarled up, and they look ferocious. And say, oh, that's such a scary person, I'm scared of this. And you think they're so ferocious, you're afraid of them. And they're not ferocious, they're just in pain, just barely getting by, and still doing something.
Yeah.
But they're not ferocious. We're thinking it's ferocious.
The old assumption you can't make, nothing's as it seems, right?
And you're not as you seem either.
Thank you.
So, okay.
Great thing to say.
So we're going to start do some of these other chants now. And we're not going to do...
more chanting?
Oh, yeah. Oh, we're only halfway.
Oh, shoot. I should shut up.
Stop enjoying it.
Do you hear anyone talking?
No.